104.1 and a good Thursday morning, friends. My name is Nick Reed. Today's the day that we are going to learn whether or not the economy contracted negative growth for the second quarter in a row, which has always been the definition of a recession. But of course, with the help of the media, the Biden administration is now telling us that that no longer counts. That is no longer what defines a recession, that despite the fact that they have consistently, that has been the definition of recession. But again, in the world of Democrat, the authoritarian, totalitarian mindset, the dictator mindset, applies to the English language now as well. They dictate what words mean. Dictionaries are out. We don't even need dictionaries any longer. Because the point of a dictionary, you understand this. You look at a dictionary, and every dictionary, here, you look up a word, and it has a definition. Or perhaps a particular word has a number of different definitions. Objects have words that are applied to them. And the reason that they are able to put them in a book called a dictionary is because it's consistent. We all use the same thing. But in the world of the Democrats, particularly over the last few years, the dictionary is irrelevant. They just decide what words mean. Whatever, any given day. Whatever, of course, we all universally scientifically understood what a male was. We all universally scientifically understood what a female is. But now, they just up and decide, no, not anymore. No. Why not? Well, we decided. And by the way, if you disagree, you are a horrible, awful bigot that caused trans youth to murder themselves. And now when it comes to the economy, inflation, just throw the dictionary away. Throw it out. I mean, just get rid of it. Recession. Because recession no longer means what it means, because Democrats now dictate even words. The meaning of words, and they demand total compliance. Anyone who says otherwise is doing harm to our society. See, and this is what will come with the recessionary reality that we're in, is if you don't accept their new definition of recession, which, by the way, they won't actually define. They'll just tell you what we're in is not. They'll say, well, that's not what recession is. Well, what is recession? And the White House has been asked this question. Well, there are lots of... That's not really for us to answer. We're just going to look to the experts. Well, here's a hint. A recession, according to the Biden administration and the Democrats, is something that never, ever, ever can happen while they're in power, no matter what. That's the definition of recession. That's how you know when one is not happening, regardless of the economic realities. If Democrats are in charge, it's not a recession. That's the definition. And anyone who says otherwise, you are doing harm to the economy. You want the American people to fail. This is what they will say. That Republicans are trying to tank the economy, this economy that has come roaring back under the Biden administration, that has seen the single greatest addition of jobs in the history of this country under this president. An active economy in which Americans are flourishing economically in ways that they never even could begin to imagine. And Republicans are trying to stop that by convincing you there's a recession. And by talking about one, they're hoping to create one. Much like redefining what a boy and a girl is, what a man and a woman is, what a mother is. They aren't happy with you simply saying, all right, fine. Make up your own language if you want. That's your thing. you must also comply or you are a danger. When it comes to genders, if you don't comply with their redefining of words and people, then you are a danger to the LGBT community. If you do not comply, which is what we'll see, when it comes to the redefining of what a recession is, you are a danger to our economy, hoping that it fails for political purposes. We all have known, either maybe not personally, but you know, people who live in their own little fantasy world, detached from reality, right? Oftentimes, these are individuals, particularly before the internet, that would stand on street corners with cardboard signs, and they would yell about these, you know, conspiracy theories that were beyond what even conspiracy theorists would believe. You know, they'd wear the literally wear tinfoil hats. They would think themselves some sort of prophet getting messages from God. And what did we all do? We're like, okay, all right. I don't know. Recognize that person lives in a fantasy world. That person has created their own reality, but let them live in it while we all live in the real world. But what happens today is that person is what the Democrat Party is today. They craft this fantasy world. The problem is, instead of being the individual that's out on the street corner yelling at traffic on a daily basis, these are individuals that have authority over your lives and demand that you comply. They're psychotic. All of the talk dismissing the definition of recession, on the off chance, the numbers today show that there isn't a contraction, that either things are even or that there is even slight growth. Trust me. We will hear about, see, there's not a recession. All of a sudden, that definition of recession, that is the accurate definition of 2 quarters in a row of contraction in terms of economic growth, will be back in play because they'll be able to show that didn't happen. So that's proof things are getting better. Mark my words. Now, all signs point to the fact that is not going to happen, that we are going to officially see, by definition, that we are in recession. But again, on that off chance that we don't see the second quarter of contraction, of negative growth, they will certainly lean on the traditional definition in order to brag about the fact that they have avoided recession. Jason Reimer with news.
We're expecting a few strong to severe storms today. The National Weather Service says those storms will develop later this morning, then last through the afternoon. Those storms will be scattered across the area, so not everyone will get rain today. Springfield police have arrested a woman for shooting her daughter at a local business.
30-year-old Christiana Rodriguez is charged with assault, armed criminal action, and other counts. Police were called to Cox South Hospital for a report of an 11-year-old girl shot in the chest. Rodriguez said she removed one bullet from a gun and then pulled back the slide, firing a second bullet. She told police it was accidental.
George Lawson reporting. Voters will narrow the list of candidates for Missouri's U.S. Senate seat and congressional seat on Tuesday. You can see what's on your ballot and listen to interviews with those candidates at KSGF.com. Meantime, Democrats are feeling bullish about their chances for an upset in Missouri's U.S. Senate race. That's if former Governor Greitens becomes the Republican nominee. They are divided, though, on which of their candidates is the best bet for a victory in November. Lucas Kuntz brings a Marine swagger and grassroots populism to the race. Trudy Bush Valentine, a retired nurse and heir to the Anheuser-Busch fortune, has pledged to take compassion and decency to Washington. I'm Jason Reimer, Springfield's Talk 104.1.
You know, that story referencing Democrats claiming they feel bullish about their chances of retaking that Senate seat if Greitens gets the nomination. I don't know why that would be, because the hypothetical matchups have shown that Greitens would beat any of those candidates in polling. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that should Greitens get the nomination, that he is by any stretch of the imagination a shoo-in. He doesn't, in terms of some, you know, the matchups that they have done in terms of this Republican versus this Democrat have, from what I've seen, been confined to Hartzler, Schmidt, and Greitens, because of the fact that those are the three that have been considered the contenders for, you know, they've been the top three. And so they have done matchups and some polling. And like Hartzler and Schmidt, although not quite by quite as much of a margin, Greitens has been shown to beat those other candidates. So this continued presentation that, you know, if Greitens gets this thing, it's over for Republicans. Now, there is a reason that Democrats should be excited about the prospects of getting that nomination, and that is Jack Danforth's boy, this Wood character that was Liz Cheney's right-hand investigator for the January 6th show trials, who's running as an independent, claiming he's really a Republican, so he's some alternative. That will give Democrats that U.S. Senate seat and perhaps control of the Senate. So the biggest opportunity that Democrats have to grab that Missouri Senate seat is not Eric Greitens, it's Wood, the so-called independent alternative for Republicans that will be on the November ballot. Springfield's Talk 104.1 traffic update. Now I am Nick.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Emily Johnson, House Theory Realty. Tatiana recently reviewed her experience with Emily Johnson, saying, I had the pleasure of working with Emily Johnson last month. Emily was prompt. She was great to communicate with and overall an absolute pleasure to work with. She made a great experience for all parties involved. If looking for a wonderful agent to buy or sell with, I highly recommend her. Diana noted that Emily is just the best. We worked with her to sell our home and buy a new home. Emily helped make sure it was an easy process. Both cases, she guided us in the right direction and advocated for us repeatedly. She also took pressure off of us by offering to contact people for us and make arrangements as needed for repairs, estimates, etc. If we were unavailable, Emily always took the time to make things work. It was so much fun working with her over the past few months, and we would recommend her to anyone looking for a new agent. That is what you get with Emily Johnson, House Theory Realty. You can read other reviews, and these are people that have taken the time to post on her Facebook page. I tell you that so you can recognize, you can message these people if you want. They're real people, just like you, just like me, who have been through that experience and who chose Emily Johnson and wanted to share that experience word of mouth to benefit others. And I'm sure they'd be more than happy to communicate with you on a one-on-one level if you reached out to them about their experience. That's Emily Johnson, House Theory Realty. There have been a number of reports over the last several days regarding what began as one whistleblower, but apparently are numerous whistleblowers within the FBI, and they are revealing information that simply reaffirm what many of us have suspected based on the behavior of the FBI through the last several years, at least that we've seen publicly, and that is it is a corrupt organization. It is acting as the political wing for the Democrat Party. It is the sword and shield of the Democrat Party. And it has become apparent twice. It has twice meddled in presidential elections in order to alter the outcome. And at least one of those two times, arguably, was successful in doing so. Now, the latest story is regarding Jim Jordan of Ohio, who is the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, and he sent off a letter to FBI Director Christopher Wray that whistleblowers at the FBI have revealed that the Bureau is, quote, padding domestic terrorism data to make the threat seem larger than it is. noting that the Bureau is misclassifying cases, according to the whistleblowers within the FBI, as due to domestic violent extremists to support the administration's narrative about the threat presented by domestic violent extremists, which, as you know, they have publicly declared as being white supremacists that are synonymous with and sometimes even named as Make America Great Again Americans, Trump supporters. Now, we have seen this from a political perspective, of course. We see it with the Stalin-esque show trials that have been taking place as the January 6th committee. We have seen the President of the United States noting that these people are the, you know, the most extreme amongst us, that the Trump supporters are a great domestic danger. Well, what we have on the law enforcement end are whistleblowers within the FBI that are revealing, from a law enforcement perspective, they are fixing the numbers in order to bolster that claim against the segment of the population that does not support Democrats. Perhaps gives a little bit of focus as to why it is that the FBI is the sword and shield of the Democrat Party. In this instance, they are the sword. It is a proactive attack on Republicans, a proactive attack on Trump supporters. Fixing numbers, according to the FBI whistleblowers, in order to give some sort of evidence, as false as it may be, to back up the assertion by Democrats that Republican voters are simply domestic terrorists. Some may be in hiding as sleeper cells, but some, of course, we see on full display on a daily basis with their racism and transphobia and all the listing of names that they apply. Now, that is one of the many instances of the sword aspect of the shield and sword. The shield, of course, is when it comes to Biden and Hunter Biden in particular. And there's a piece I want to share with you. The FBI keeps interfering in presidential elections, disbanded. This is from The Federalist. News broke Monday evening that the FBI falsely labeled verified intelligence and credible evidence against Hunter Biden as disinformation in order to shut down an investigation of him in the run-up to the 2020 presidential election. It is hard to overstate the significance of this. Despite the lack of attention the story has received so far from the corporate press, the FBI has now directly interfered, that we know of, my words, has directly interfered in two consecutive presidential elections, placing a heavy hand on the scale to benefit Democrats in 2016 and 2020, all in hopes of keeping Donald Trump out of the White House. It would not be too much to say the FBI is a threat to democracy and that it should be disbanded. Democracy, the author's term, not mine. We're in a republic. Now, we've got to take a break here, and I do want to note, if you've noticed, man, it seems like there are a lot of commercials lately. There are a bit more commercials than usual, and this will cease and go back to our normal commercial load after next Tuesday in order to accommodate all of the people who are running for office. We have added a little bit of inventory space, and so if it seems as if, man, it seems like, you know, the breaks are a little bit longer than usual, you aren't imagining things, but if you could just bear with us, we've got tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday, and then it'll be back to normal, so we can make it through it. By the way, tomorrow, Friday, we do have a Heroes Breakfast, remind you of that, at Scramblers Veterans, 6 to 9 a.m. as we broadcast live. You get free breakfast thanks to Delta Roofing, Air Services, Heating, Cooling, All Service Plumbing, and Scrambler.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
All right, we've got a traffic update. The American Transmissions talk and text line 447-KSGF. We're going to get into this piece. The FBI keeps interfering in presidential elections. It disbanded, an argument for doing so, and this is on the heels of increased whistleblower information regarding the attempt, successfully so, to hide the Hunter Biden investigation, to get rid of it in the run-up to the 2020 Trump-Biden election. So we'll continue on with that here in just about 2 minutes. Traffic update, I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
First Alert forecast sponsored by Navant Employee Benefits That Work. Partly sunny today. Showers, storms likely. High of 89. Scattered showers and storms with a low of 70 tonight. Showers and storms 81 tomorrow. Showers and storms Saturday 78. And more showers and storms Sunday with a high of 83. Aller Building Company, brand new home building for those folks that don't want to do any remodeling. Don't want to take someone else's home, purchase it, and then go through remodeling it, refiguring it, recolor scheming it in order to fit what it is that you want. You start from the ground up, blank slate, and you can do that with Oller Building Company, O-L-L-E-R. They're under Nick's endorsements at KSGF.com. The FBI keeps interfering in presidential elections disbanded. The piece in the Federalist notes that over the past week, it has been revealed by whistleblowers within the FBI that the agency falsely labeled verified intelligence and credible evidence against Hunter Biden as disinformation in order to shut down the investigation of him in the run-up to the 2020 presidential election. John Daniel Davidson in the piece notes that the FBI has now directly interfered in two consecutive presidential elections, that being 2016 and 2020, in order to try and throw the election to the Democrat. First, Hillary Clinton, in which they, of course, failed, and then Joe Biden. I should note here that there was an outfit that did deep research in what would be considered potentially swing states, and there are states in which Biden narrowly was said to have won, and they researched individuals who voted for Joe Biden, presented them with these stories that turned out to be true that were covered up by the FBI, and then subsequently asked, would that have changed your vote? In each of the states, there were enough voters who voted for Joe Biden that said, yes, that would have changed my vote had I had known this. I would have voted for Donald Trump. There were enough of those people that it would have changed the outcome of the election and Trump would have won. So the FBI, according to research, did interfere in an election that altered the outcome. John Daniel Davidson continues, here's what happened. According to the letter released by Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, addressed to Attorney General Merrick Garland and FBI Director Christopher Wray, numerous highly credible whistleblowers have come forward about a scheme in place among certain FBI officials to undermine derogatory information connected to Hunter Biden by falsely suggesting that that information was disinformation. The result of this FBI scheme, which took place in the summer and fall of 2020, was to quash an investigation into Hunter Biden's criminal, financial, and related activity, which had reportedly started as a tax investigation just before the November election that year. Grassley, the ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, said that the volume and consistency of these allegations substantiate their credibility and necessitate this letter. By the way, you notice that there's a real difference between this and the January 6th committee. Chuck Grassley has verified individuals that have corroborated whistleblower, not just allegations, but actual evidence from numerous other whistleblowers. Grassley's letter tells a shocking tale that should enrage every American, regardless of party, in part because some of the same FBI agents, who interfered in the 2016 election did it again in 2020. Whistleblowers say that in August of 2020, FBI Supervisory Intelligence Agent Brian Outen opened an assessment of an ongoing FBI investigation of Hunter Biden and that this assessment was used by FBI headquarters to, quote, improperly discredit negative Hunter Biden information as disinformation and caused investigative activity to cease, end quote. And of course, we all know that the media dutifully did its job in carrying out this misinformation. Recall that Outen was deeply involved in Crossfire Hurricane, which was the FBI's counterintelligence investigation into the Trump campaign that became the basis for the Russian collusion hoax. It was Outen, the same FBI employee who was in charge of verifying the phony Steele dossier but failed to flag its many errors and inconsistencies. He interviewed Igor Dechenko, a Russian-born lawyer who was the main source for the Steele dossier's outlandish claims three times in 2017. During those interviews, Danchenko undercut claims of collusion between the Trump campaign and Moscow, raising serious doubts about the reliability of the dossier, which of course would turn out to be untrue. That being the dossier. Outen was also in charge of reviewing the flawed Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act application known as FISA to spy on the Trump campaign associate Carter Page, which relied on the discredited dossier. According to the Inspector General Michael Horowitz's report on FISA abuse, Outen failed to advise his supervisors of the inconsistencies between the Steele dossier and its primary source, Danchenko, including allegations against Page. But it does not stop there. Grassley's letter also includes allegations from whistleblowers that the FBI assistant special agent in charge of the Washington field office, Timothy Tybalt, ordered closed an avenue of additional derogatory Hunter Biden reporting in October 2020, a month before the election, without giving a reason as required by FBI guidelines, despite the reporting being verified or verifiable via criminal search warrants. That is, Tybalt of the FBI closed the investigation even though he and others at the FBI knew, much of what had been uncovered was true. Tybalt is the FBI agent whose objectively partisan social media presence prompted Grassley to send a letter in May accusing him of likely violations of federal law and FBI regulations for a, quote, pattern of active public partisanship in his then public social media content. But again, my notation here, he's a leftist, and so leftists are allowed to violate federal law. In order to ensure that the Hunter Biden investigation was not reopened, Tybalt and other FBI officials allegedly, quote, attempted to improperly mark the matter in FBI systems so that it could not be opened in the future, according to the letter. If Grassley's sources are all telling the truth, what we have here at the very least is a conspiracy inside the FBI to suppress an investigation into Joe Biden's son in the months before the election. Why would the FBI do such a thing? Perhaps some among the same cadre of FBI agents who cooked up the Russian collusion hoax knew that if the verified and verifiable derogatory information they had about Hunter Biden got out, it would kill Joe Biden's chances of ousting Trump from the White House. So they killed the investigation, falsely labeled evidence against Hunter Biden as disinformation, and then tried to bury the whole thing. Now that Grassley has come forward with these allegations, we need to know everything. The FBI and the Justice Department need to give Grassley everything he asked for, and there needs to be a full investigation, perhaps by a special counsel. Then, if the allegations turn out to be true, and the FBI really did intervene in the 2020 election, as Grassley's letter suggests, the forthcoming GOP congressional majority needs to disband or at least defund the FBI. The issue is existential for our republic. If all this is true, then both the FBI and the Justice Department are, in Grassley's words, quote, institutionally corrupted to the very core, to the point in which the United States Congress and the American people will have no confidence in the equal application of the law. We already don't. Newsflash. They also won't have confidence in the freeness and fairness of our elections, and they will be right. And again, most Americans already feel that way. I mean, that train is gone out of the station. Most Americans do not have trust in many of these institutions, the FBI being one of them. One of the problems that exist here is Grassley has two offices, if you will, two people to which he can address this issue. The problem is both of those individuals are part of the problem. I mean, Merrick Garland is presiding over hundreds of people that have been imprisoned for up to 18 months without a trial. Some simply are charged with trespassing. The same thing that Stephen Colbert's crew did and were let off with no charges. The same thing that has happened over and over and over again. that happened when Amy Comey Barrett was testifying, when Judge Kavanaugh was up there testifying, you know, being questioned as part of the nomination process. In fact, earlier this week, there were Democrat activists that were arrested because they were illegally trespassing in the Capitol, protesting for Chuck Schumer to reopen the push in order to, you know, get the Green Deal done. And while they were arrested, we all know that they're not going to be imprisoned for 18 months without trial. Merrick Garland and the White House has openly encouraged left-wingers to violate federal law regarding the protesting outside Supreme Court justices' homes. Merrick Garland is the head of the snake. So, of course, the question is, to whom do you go? This is where some have said a special counsel is needed. Generally, Republicans don't like the idea of special counsel for a number of reasons that, frankly, are valid reasons. But they're only valid if you have actors, politically speaking, that are in acting in good faith. But when you have one political party that utilizes the law enforcement wing, that being the FBI, on a federal level, the way that the East Germans used the Stasi, the way that the Soviet Union used the KGB, in which the FBI is acting as the sword and shield for a political party, then you, what options do you have? Or have we gotten to the point in this country, much like East Germany, Soviet Union, Venezuela, and so many others, where the corruption is so deep by the people in power, and there are enough Americans that will continue to support that level of corruption, that this is just the lot in life that we have now? And that is the United States. And all of this being said, it kills me as I still see stories questioning whether or not Ukraine is worthy of our support because of how corrupt the government is. Now, I'm not saying that it is worthy or isn't worthy. That's not the point. But here in the United States, the level of corruption that we have displayed, we've got show trials going on that would make Stalin proud. We have a media that covers them prime time, breathlessly reporting accusations that turn out to be false over and over again. We have on a federal level the law enforcement wing twice now being accused from within through whistleblowers of interfering in presidential elections. We have a Department of Justice that encourages their party's membership to violate federal laws in order to intimidate Supreme Court justices to rule in a manner that they want. And we are going to sit in judgment of the corruption of countries like Ukraine? We ought to be careful about throwing stones. Now, again, I'm not saying that that means that we, it's not an argument for or against supporting Ukraine, but throwing in the component of corruption as a potential deciding factor is pretty laughable for us to do. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
A1 Custom Car Care, all of your car care needs. We are going to get a nice little reprieve from the heat. Lots of showers and storms, though. Don't dismiss the significance of your windshield wipers. A lot of times, because it's something you can do yourself, we don't pay much attention to it. And generally, people will realize that they need to change them when it's raining really hard and you're leaning forward trying to see out the windshield, particularly at night, and you can't even see the stripes in the road. And at that point, you should have already had those changed. So what I recommend is just next time you have your vehicle in, be it an oil change or tire rotation or get that check engine light figured out, ask them to check your wipers. And should you need new ones, they can replace them for you. It's just a smart thing to do. Be proactive, not reactive. A1 Custom Car Care, all of their location info is under Nick's endorsements, of course, at KSGF.com. Clarence Thomas will no longer teach law, a law seminar at George Washington University. The announcement was made after 11,000 community members signed a petition demanding his removal from his role last month because, of course, these are pro-abortion people. And they want him removed because they don't like the fact that he interpreted the Constitution in a manner that accurately recognized what Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself once noted, and that is that whole constitutional justification for Roe v. Wade was non-existent. And so she herself said that it would eventually this is what would happen. It's amazing how Democrats leave that fact out of their argument. But that aside, so they wanted one of the great law minds of our time, who strictly interprets the Constitution, to not be able to teach young people because they personally like abortion and don't like the fact that the Constitution does not have provisions in it that say, oh yeah, you have the right to bear arms, you have the right to free speech, you have the right to freedom of religion, you have the right to an abortion. Oh wait, that one's not in there. Now here's the thing. This is George Washington University. And George Washington University officials, they said, we're not going to remove him. And they're saying, hey, we're not pleased about this. We hate that this is happening and so forth. But Thomas has said he just didn't have time to do this. The co-lecturer, Gregory Maggs, wrote in an email, unfortunately, I'm writing with some sad news. Justice Thomas has informed me that he is unavailable to co-teach the seminar this fall. I know that this is disappointing. I'm very sorry the seminar has not been canceled, but I will now be the sole instructor for those of you still interested in taking the course. I assure you that I will make it the best situation as possible. Now, the university's College Republican chapter, they expressed concern that Thomas's withdrawal was the result of internal pressure from campus activists in a statement provided to National Review. Now, I have my own thought as to why this might be. I think it could very well reasonably be Clarence Thomas concerned about his own safety. I mean, you've got campuses that are gun-free zones, which of course means they are the easiest place to kill people if you are a criminal. Clarence Thomas would be on a university in which people are not allowed to protect themselves or others with firearms, lecturing in an open hall. The current atmosphere that has been created by the media and many within the Democrat Party that have caused this hysterical reaction from many of their supporters, the encouragement, the doxing of these justices, the administration openly encouraging people to violate federal law when it comes to protesting outside their homes. Of course, at least one assassination attempt. If I were Clarence Thomas, or if I were his wife, I'd be like, you got to be out of your mind. Given the atmosphere that has been created, and that Democrats are out there claiming that you are the reason that women are going to be thrown in jail for having miscarriages and dying in back alley abortions, and how nutty some of these left wingers are, I don't think it's a very good idea for you to be lecturing in an open arena in which somebody, because it's a no gun free zone, is going to, you know, accurately recognize that they probably have an easier than not chance of shooting you. Maybe you ought not do that. That being said, also, after the break, there's new information about Nicholas Roski. Now, that's a name, of course, off the top of your head you may not recognize, and that's because he didn't attempt to assassinate a left-wing Supreme Court justice, but a right-wing Supreme Court justice, which, of course, is, you know, or is so-called anyway, Brett Kavanaugh, which, you know, isn't that big of a deal, so let's just move on and not worry about it so much. But there's new information, including the fact Kavanaugh was not his only target. And he was pretty specific in what it was, according to the investigation, according to what he told law enforcement. This is information that's just been released in the last day or so. And amazingly enough, it's essentially Democrat talking points. That next, I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
So Fox News has got new information, according to the FBI report, on Nicholas John Roski, 26. This is the Democrat activist who attempted to assassinate Kavanaugh. And they played it off like, oh, he was just angry one day and he was confused and didn't really want to do it. That's why he called his sister. According to the FBI, he'd been planning it for weeks and researching ways to do it successfully. The FBI search warrant application revealed that he planned the target for at least 2 weeks and was planning to target two other Supreme Court justices. In the 2 weeks before his foiled attack, he used a Google search to search how to be stealthy, assassin skills, and most effective place to stab someone. According to the application, Roski said that he used his Reddit account to ask individuals who were unknown to him questions in order to refine his plans to kill the justice. He said that he told a user on the internet forum that he was going to stop Roe v. Wade from being overturned. When the user asked, "What are you trying to do?" he replied, "Remove some people from the Supreme Court." The person told Roski, quote, "Two dead judges ain't going to do nothing. The whole government is blank. There's no fixing that. You would die before you killed them." Roski said, "Yeah, but I could get at least one, which would change the votes for decades to come, and I'm shooting for three. All of the major decisions for the past 10 years have been along party lines, so if there are more liberal than conservative judges, then they will have the power. Gee, I wonder where he got that idea." News in 60 seconds. I'm Nick Reed.